Callahan Show.
Golf, 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 more, more.
All right, welcome to the This Week in Golf Podcast, Masters Recap Edition. Rory is the champ. 11 years after blowing it, he shoots 11 under, completes the career Grand Slam. Well deserved, very well deserved. And it's his third win of the year. He won previously at the Players Championship, and he won at Pebble Beach, both signature events. Now he's won the Masters, $3.6 million for each. So he's earned over $10 million already this year. Caddy's getting paid. We'll talk about all of that. And, I mean, I think the legacy of this Masters is going to be Rory overcoming Rory and his own adversity. He goes out on, doesn't shoot great on Thursday, right around even par. Friday, he shoots 66, fabulous round. Saturday, he shoots 66. He's in the clubhouse at 66 on Saturday with a 5-shot lead. And if it wasn't for Bryson on Saturday, Bryson birdied 3 of the last 4 holes to get to 10 under par. So he was only 2 back at that point. But at one point, Rory had a 5-stroke lead over the field. And it looked like he was going to walk away with it. But no, we get the matchup. Liv versus the PGA Tour on Sunday. Bryson versus Rory. The U.S. Open rematch. They weren't playing together at the U.S. Open, but they basically went head-to-head, and Bryson beat Rory towards the end. And this one, I mean, Rory did everything to lose, and he did everything to win, all in a 5-hour period of time. The first hole, he gets a double bogey. The second hole, he gets a bogey. Bryson's in the lead after 2 holes. It looks like it's going to be a runaway. But, you know, Bryson just never had it. He didn't even have it on Saturday. He was struggling all day. He just got it together at the end and made 3 out of 4 birdies. But other than that, his irons were off Friday, Saturdays, and really on Sunday as well. So he never had any chance. I would say the only thing Bryson's got to be kicking himself about is that I feel as though he gave it away too early on Sunday. I think he pressed too hard, and he didn't give himself an opportunity to let Rory, because Rory made several mistakes, but what had happened is Rory made the mistakes early, and then he settled in, and he had a 3 or 4-stroke lead. After the 11th hole, Bryson hit it in the water. Rory got super lucky and did not hit it in the water. And Bryson was basically done at that point. He's out. And basically everybody was out at that point. It looked like it was going to be a triumphant come down the fairways salute to Rory and the greatness that he's been for his entire career and a crowning Masters victory. But then he hits it in the water on 13. Gets a double bogey. On 14, he hits it in the trees. He has to punch out. He ends up getting a bogey there. He's not even in the lead with 4 holes left. And then, of course, he turns it on. He turns it on. He hits the great shot on 15. Hits a great shot on 16. He doesn't make the putt on 16, but a great shot. 17. And then 17, he birdies. And all he has to do is par the final hole. And he is the champion. And he hits a perfect drive down the middle. He's got 120 yards into the green. And he misses the green into the fairway. And we all know the rest. He gets a bogey there. And Justin Rose, who finished probably an hour before him, who played phenomenal as well. See, Justin Rose kind of did the opposite. He played good Thursday and Friday. He has the 54-hole lead. And then on Saturday, he shoots 75. It was pretty tough to watch. He missed a lot of, like, putts within 5 feet. And I think he 3-putted once from like within 5 feet. So, you know, he looked out of it, completely out of it, but he shoots 66 on Sunday and he makes a birdie on the 18th hole. And, you know, he's in the playoff. He's in a playoff with Rory. And he, you know, it was an interesting time because I'm watching the Masters and my daughter called me right as Rory missed the birdie putt, or excuse me, the par putt. So it's going to go to a playoff. So, you know, when my daughter calls, I answer the phone and I was chatting with her because a lot of times when I call her, she doesn't answer. Or if she does answer, she says, I'll call you back. So when she calls me, I want to talk to her. So we had a nice conversation. So I basically watched the entire playoff while I was talking to my daughter. And I want to know the truth about you right now. Did you cry when Rory won the Masters? Rory sure did. Fell down on his knees and cried on the 18th green when he won the playoff. I probably would have, but I was speaking on the phone to my daughter. And so I really wasn't, you know, I was kind of in the conversation more than I was watching what was happening on TV. I mean, it is golf. It's like you watch two tee shots, you have 3 minutes before you watch two approach shots. But one of the interesting things I found was like, and what I was thinking when it happened, I was like, dude, like you just had a chance to win the Masters on 18 in regulation and you didn't. And now you have to go play in a playoff hole. And like, you know, it's like these, you'll see it in a baseball game or a basketball team. One team will be way ahead and then the other team scraps all the way back and forces an overtime. And the team that's usually ahead fails and loses. And so this is what I'm thinking. I'm like, oh my God, this guy is going to lose the Masters in a playoff, right? It's like, what do you do? And the key thing, and it was my key takeaway, and it was Harry Diamond, who's Rory's caddy. And it made me think, I don't know if I thought about this before I heard the quote or not, but I was like, what do you say at that point in time to yourself? Or if you're the caddy, what do you say to the player? You know, hey, everything's going to be okay or whatever. But here's what he said, and I'll read it to you. So they're in the golf cart. They're going down to the 18th tee, and Harry Diamond says, well, pal, we would have taken this on Monday morning. And Rory said, yeah, absolutely we would have. And he basically told me, look, you would have given your right arm to be in a playoff at the start of the week. So that sort of reframed it for me a little bit. And I wrote an article on this. It's actually on the Golf BPM blog about this very topic, about reframing and mental approach to golf. And I just found it fascinating that like that guy said that at that point in time. Because what a thing to say. It's like, you know, you're in the worst possible spot, right? You're like, oh, shoot, we could have won. I mean, you're not out of it. But you got to say something or pep your guy up or do something. And to say, you know, 5 days ago, if I would have told you we'd be in a playoff, you'd take that, right? Heck yeah. Heck yeah. So let's go out and win this thing. And he does. Both players in the playoff drive it perfectly down the fairway. They both have approach shots. Rose goes first, hits to about 15 feet. And Rory, he did it again, man. He put the ball to like within 4 feet of the hole. I mean, he had some moments where it was inexplicable what he does on 13 and on 18 in regulation, where he's within 100 yards and he completely misses the green. One he hits into the creek and the other one he hits into the bunker. And then but he would also have these shots on like the 15th hole where he's like 200 yards away and he hooks it around a tree and he puts it to 5 feet away. And the day before that, he was on the same hole, the 15th hole, and he hits it to like 4 feet away and makes an eagle and just incredible shots. And then he's just like, two shots. There were more than two. There were a few of them where they just came from nowhere. And, you know, and he kind of like falls apart and then he pulls it back together. He makes the putt. He wins the tournament. I mean, what a tournament to watch. And it was very, very like mentally taxing just to watch. I can only imagine what this guy was going through while he was playing it. You know, 1 minute you're out of it. You play yourself back into it. You're out of it. You play yourself back in. Now you're tied. Now you win. Now you're crying on the green, just like you were at home, right? You don't have to lie. I know you're crying. So many great things about the tournament, obviously. And the course is always the winner. It always comes down to the second nine. You know, you're not allowed to say the back nine when you're on the broadcast at the Masters. You have to call it the second nine. So on the second nine, look, every year, year after year, the drama is there. I don't know how they do it, but they always get, well, obviously it's the best players in the world, but they always get like two of the best going down within the last three or four holes, duking it out. And that was spectacular. My only critique on the Masters whatsoever is the Thursday-Friday broadcast. I think they should do a full broadcast of whatever, 8 hours. They need to do more. Because like Friday, Bryson was on fire. And some of the other early players too, it might have been Ludvig Allberg and a few others, were playing really well. And the broadcast doesn't even start until, I think, 2 o'clock Eastern. Starts at 11 o'clock here in California. And so, you know, the first tee time's at 7 in the morning. So there's like 5 hours where all these top guys are playing and you're not even going to see them. And the same thing happens on Thursday because of the way they stagger the tee time. So, you know, there's a lot of great players that aren't even on TV playing great rounds. And then I think they need to do something about that. But yes, you can go onto the app. Yes, you can watch holes 4, 5, and 6. Aim in corner, holes 15 and 16. But it's just not the same, man. They need to have a broadcast. They should have a full broadcast. We'll see. The next one is I played DraftKings. I never do anything gambling-wise, but I just figured, what the heck? I'll get a DraftKings team. So I entered a few games, and I did nothing on any of them. But I was paying attention because I wanted to see who won the $1 million. And here's the winning team. Someone picked this winning team. Okay, it was Rory, Victor Hovland, Corey Connors, Patrick Reed, Sungjae Im, and Justin Rose. That's your winning DraftKings team for $1 million. Now, the interesting thing is I was actually watching this. I just looked on Sunday to see like, oh, let's see who picked the perfect team, right? And there was another guy that was like 2 points behind whoever the winner was, and he had Bryson. So Bryson has a putt on the 18th hole, like a 20-footer for birdie. And if he makes it, it would have flipped who won the DraftKings. It was like $1 million to the winner and $150,000 for second place. So I was kind of pulling for Bryson all along anyway, so I was hoping he'd make it, but he did not. He did not. Let's go over kind of what the LIV guys did. It was pretty impressive. There were 12 LIV players in the field, and 7 of them made the cut. And I believe all of them were in the top 30, or just about all of them. Patrick Reed was third place. He had a hole out from about 150 yards on the 17th hole, so that propelled him into that position. The next guy down was Bryson. He ends up tied for fifth, shooting 75 on Sunday. Just not a good day, man. He didn't do well. The other guys that were in there, Bubba Watson, previous Masters champion, 2-time, shoots 3-under. John Rahm, 3-under. Tyrrell Hatton, 3-under. Where are the other guys? There's a few of them down here. Joaquin Neiman is even par. And then the final guy is Charles Schwartzel, and he shoots 2-over. Mickelson doesn't make it. Brooks doesn't make it. Sergio doesn't make it. I mean, did you see Sergio's outfit on Thursday? I couldn't believe it. I picked Sergio on my DraftKings team. I'm thinking he's been playing good on LIV lately. He could potentially contend in this thing. And he shows up looking like Ronald McDonald on Thursday. It's like, you know, there's certain moments in your life where you just like see or hear something and you know your investment is just sunk. That was literally that moment. No LIV golf this week. PGA is at the RBC Heritage, and it is a signature event. $3.6 million on the line. Scheffler won it last year. And by the way, Scheffler got fourth place at the Masters, kind of quietly, snuck in there. Just played solid all along. Let's see what Scheffler shot day after day. 68, 71, 72, 69. So he's under par 3 of the days and shoots even par 1 of the days. So we'll see if he can do it at the RBC Heritage. Ladies and gentlemen, that is This Week in Golf.
Hey, it's Jeremy Callahan, and thanks for listening to This Week in Golf. Make sure and hit subscribe so you can get all the latest news and analysis from Golf BPM.